Broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 Anna Jar and Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690 with Brent Martineau and Austin Lane.
Well, we couldn't write this script after being out in Hollywood. I mean, it's a soap opera. As the James Robinson world turns. Or name your favorite one. Now, what is going on? Have you ever covered a Jags game where, not ever, but do you remember a Jags game that you really didn't even discuss the win or the loss? Like, it's almost like a moot point. Like, who cares if they won or lost? It's, all right, everybody kind of expect them to lose. Everybody kind of expect them to get the doors blown off them. They're just a better team over there. Heck, I even got the impression that Urban Meyer in the postgame said, yeah, they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a talented team. We got five games. We kind of think we can maybe fare a little better coming up the last five of the season. I mean, it was odd. But it's like nobody wants to talk about the win or the loss because there's really nothing to dissect. It's a lot like the San Francisco game. And now it's just this, I mean, all right, tell us why. Let's find out what is going on with James Robinson. And just be truthful with us. Just let us know, because you're telling us two different things.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the game is concerned, in terms of the final score, like in terms of getting blown out, yeah, I think everybody saw that coming. I think the one talking point is, yeah, guess what? The Rams' offense is good. Spoiler alert. Guess what? You know, the Rams' defense has some good players on it. Spoiler alert. I guess what I didn't foresee, you know, through all our analysis and everything, was just how stymied and how bad the Jaguars' offense actually was. I mean, it's that's been the trend now for how many weeks? But we talked about a Rams defense that, you know, for the past couple weeks hasn't been playing that well, and it has been surrendering some points, and has, you know, I mean, just surrendered a lot of points, I guess we could say. And you have a team in Jacksonville that was desperate to put points on the scoreboard. So something had to give, obviously. It was in L.A., so you're going to the West Coast. Jaguars don't do well there. But if one takeaway set aside from the James Robinson drama, which we'll talk about, obviously, but the other takeaway was just how stagnant and how bad this offense has become. In terms of, you know, that Cincinnati game, or even if you want to go back to the Houston game, like at least, you know, there were some points being put up. They have done nothing but regress and regress and regress. And to me, that's the biggest takeaway from this Rams game.
7 points against the Seahawks. It was a garbage touchdown. No touchdowns and 9 points in a win over Buffalo. Can't believe they won that game. 17 points against the Colts. 10 points against the 49ers. Falcons, it was 14. And 7 against the Rams. You do the math. I don't have time. It's not good. Okay? It's like single digits scoring. That's what it is. But I do think you're right. They've been stymied. But I actually think the James Robinson story goes hand in hand with the stymied offense story. Because what's even worse than stinking on offense is having your best player on the sideline while you stink on offense.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's what people can't get their arms around. Listen, James Robinson fumbled a couple times down two games. I'm kind of like a little worried. He hasn't fumbled much. So that's not good.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, it was a great play by Aaron
Donald.
It was a
very good play by one of the best players.
He had two hands on the football. I don't know what more you want that guy to do.
Yeah, and it was. I don't think it's a problem, but you start to wonder all these things. It's like, what are they doing? Like, do NFL guys need confidence? Like, are they hurting his confidence?
Well, it's a punishment. James Robinson is being punished for fumbling the football, and we obviously have an issue with that. Bill Belichick will sit his guy out for the entire game. And sometimes he puts him down on the depth chart when guys do this.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we saw it with Sony Michel when Sony Michel played for the Patriots. Like, this is a Patriots thing that they've always done. The problem with that, though, is the Patriots, they can pull that off because they have other guys on offense. They have a system, a culture put in place. The Jaguars do not. So when you rest your, or when you sit your best player and you bench your best player and you try to teach him a lesson, that puts your whole offense behind the eight ball. When Bill Belichick and the Patriots do it, they really don't skip a beat because they have other guys ready to chomp at the bit. You know, whether it was Rex Burkhead back in the day. I mean, just name your running back from the New England Patriots. You know, they always seem to produce. So, you know, it almost adds more pressure to, I better not fumble, I better not fumble. You can't afford to do that here. you are not the New England Patriots right now. You don't have a Patriots defense. You don't have a Patriots culture. You don't have a Patriots quarterback. You don't have a Patriots offensive line. And you don't have Patriots running backs. So you got to stop trying to be like the New England Patriots, because it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and Ellis, I understand what you're saying too. But on this football team right now, and when you're struggling to get things going on offense and you're really going regressing in a lot of phases, like, punishing your best player for that is probably not ideal. And 16 plays last week, I think even another six last week after he made a great catch, he was on the bench, and that wasn't after a turnover or anything. And now this one coming in where he goes from the 11:46 mark of fumbling the football to not touching it again to the 11:11 mark of the third quarter. That is two full quarters for this guy being on the bench while your offense is doing nothing. And by the way, you were in the game. Like, you were in the game. It's just inexcusable. And your reasoning of being hurt is not good enough, because we all know by now, everybody's saying it. And if you're hurt, then why are you in the game in the final couple of plays of the game?
It's just an excuse.
So yeah. Just say what it is. Okay, we think it's a fumbling problem right now, and he's got to learn from it, and he's got to hold on to the football. We can't afford to do that. Our margin of error is slim. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we could handle that a little bit better than just this facade of, oh, we love James, he's great, but we continue to mistreat him as our best player. I mean, because that's what it is. This is mistreatment of a player, which, by the way, Urban Meyer, Darrell Bevell, Bernie Parmalee, Brian Schottenheimer, if you want to throw his name in, you guys weren't around for this, but we watched this story play out over the last few years, and that guy is on the other sideline yesterday. He wears number 5, mm-hmm. All right? And there's a guy in Las Vegas that's played out that way, and he's sacking people for another team. Mm-hmm. So we've seen this story before of, why aren't you taking care? Like, I think people are in tune with it here in Jacksonville. Like, hey, can you take care of your guy? Like, the guy that's done a lot of dirty work for you and is playing hurt, or just make the coaching decision to sit him down. Mm-hmm. Just make the decision. You're the coach. You're sitting him down for 20 plays in a row. Sit him down for the game, for a couple of games, mm-hmm. and let him get right if you think that's part of the problem in your explanation. So Urban Meyer's talking to the media here in the next couple minutes, so we'll see if he says anything else on it. But there's just this aloof nature right now of Urban Meyer and his explanations of, I don't know, we'll have to ask this guy or that guy. Well, who is making, I asked yesterday in the news conference, who's making the decision? Is it Bernie Parmalee? Is it Bevell? Is it you? Mm. Like, who's making the decision to sit him down for 20 plays? Yeah. So we'll hear some of the sound. I think a lot of folks have heard it by now, but I do think it goes hand in hand. It's one thing to the offense. Like, what bothers you more right now? The offense stinks and has regressed, and we don't know how good this young quarterback is or if he's getting any better. Or the fact that James Robinson, their best player on offense the last couple of years, is being disciplined, benched, maybe mistreated in some of our eyes, in my eyes it is, over these last couple of weeks, and really has been all year. And I think actually that story bothers me more right now. The Jags offense stinking, I've seen that song before.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, I think when we laid out the goals of this season, it was to evaluate Trevor Lawrence and gain him confidence. So that's where I'm still at. Like, yeah, it sucks for James Robinson. I mean, if this was this is competition, I think Trevor Lawrence is 1A and James Robinson is 1B. Like, it's that close. And I believe if James Robinson was out there, the offense would roll smoother. If the offense is rolling smoother, that gives Trevor more confidence. And then who knows what the offense looks like. But where we sit right now, yeah, it's definitely, I'm so worried about Trevor Lawrence. I'm so worried about this offense because, you know, week by week, it just seems like you're wasting this guy's first year. And, you know, I haven't seen anything to go, even yesterday. I mean, was there a play that was like, oh, wow, that's a Trevor Lawrence play right there. Now, I'm sure Dan Orlovsky's going to break down some more film because I don't know if he's, like, friends with Trevor Lawrence's agent or something. But I'm sure Dan Orlovsky will find a play yesterday that Trevor Lawrence did very well. But overall, 16 to 28, 145 yards, meh. That's nothing.
That's been the last 6 weeks.
He had a rollout, I remember. That's what I remember.
Okay.
There was a rollout throw. Okay. I don't know if the guy caught it. I just remember, it was a good ball.
Okay.
I can't guarantee
rolling
it.
Out.
It's been a long time since that happened. I just remember the rollout. Nice ball, and then unconfirmed if it was caught.
Yeah, I think Treadwell made a pretty nice play, but it was a good throw on a play. Like, but, yeah, I mean, we are. I did the same thing, guys, for the defense and the offense. I'm trying to think, okay, who made a play? I remember Adam Gotsis made a play on a third down.
Smoot had one.
And Smoot had a couple plays in there. Smoot continues to play pretty good football. Tyson Campbell's playing okay. He left the game with some injury. But nothing's jumping out. I mean, it's a 60-minute game, and you can hardly find a play or two that you're like, wow, that's good stuff. That's progress. Mm-hmm. And so to speak to the offense a little bit more, well, there is nothing progressing. The coaching is not progressing. The play calling is not progressing. The quarterback is not progressing. The running backs are not progressing. The offensive line is regressing. And the receivers continue to not be so great. Mm-hmm. The only room that actually feels like at times they're a little better than we all thought because we thought they were so bad to begin with is the tight end room. And James O'Shaughnessy couldn't catch a couple passes yesterday.
And in my eyes, it's not going to get better anytime soon.
No.
Because this is a team whose foundation and principles were built off the phrase, own it. But then when you ask the architect of that phrase, if you ask the architect of that culture, you know, why isn't James Robinson in the game? What's going on? Then he defers it to somebody else. So he's essentially not owning it.
Not owning
it. And if you're not owning it, then how do you expect your players to own it? How do you expect to build a culture if your one fundamental thing that you've been preaching is not being backed up by yourself in a press conference? It's not going to happen. So to me, it'll probably get worse before it gets better until there's some sort of accountability. Because right now, the way it's going down, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and if you're going to be the CEO like is right now and he's like, okay, I'm not going to micromanage is his favorite term right now. And, well, it's not working. So, like, if you're a manager of any company or any department and your people aren't getting it done, you go dive in and you micromanage a little bit until you feel like they've got it figured out. That's the way it goes. Like, come on now. Like, we're not stupid. Like, that's the way it works. Like, that works in football. That's the way it works in real life. That's the way it works in business. That's the way it works at home. Like, you go figure it out if it's not working. And right now, there's no signs that Urban Meyer is stepping in to figure this out offensively and how he can actually, like, get to the podium and go home and come back to the stadium and sign his name up to this is amazing to me. I just didn't think he had it in him. Like, I really didn't. I did not think, like, he would. Like, I'm driving myself wild. Like, I can't believe he is remaining calm and continuing to just stay the course in this way. Like, I understand you can't hit, like, this huge panic button and blow up the ship in the middle of the season. I understand that. Like, we all want that to happen, but you're not going to do that. But you got to mix something up. They talked about up-tempo all week long, and did they run up-tempo? Mm-hmm. Did they do it, like, late maybe in the game they did it? Like, he didn't know, actually, when asked. I don't know. I'll have to go back. Well, if you didn't know and you practiced it all week, then what are we doing? Like, what are we changing? How's this offense evolving? How are you getting better? Like, I really can't believe Urban Meyer right now is signing his name to this. Mm-hmm. And this regression of an offense. And nobody in Jacksonville is asking for a playoff berth. They're asking for a little bit of development and a couple of carrots to hang on to as this roster hopefully gets better, the young man gets better at QB, and this thing starts to flip. And right now, it is the same. Like, what is different December 6th today than it was in 2020? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what's different. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I think it was. 11 losses in a row. After the one win. So 1-11 versus 2-10. That's different. That's what we get. We are nowhere different. In fact, by the way, I could maybe make the argument that, one, you had more excuses last year. And on December 6th, you lost to Minnesota in overtime for that 11th straight loss. And Mike Glennon, by the way, led the way with 280 yards passing. And Colin Johnson led the way in receiving. And at least James Robinson ran it for 76 yards. Like, you can go back to December 6th of 2020, where we all thought, hey, they're tanking for Trevor. That's a good thing. This thing's going to flip. You get a new coach. You get everything new in here. You revamp the roster. And, well, it's not going to be like, bam, overnight into the playoffs or 8 wins. But 5-6 wins, that's a reasonable expectation. And at least some signs of growth. There's no signs of growth. Mm-hmm. Folks, there are no signs of growth. Like, to me, that's the bigger problem. That's bigger than the record. That's bigger than anything. In the big picture, if I'm Shad Khan right now, I'm like, $9 million in year one for what? Like, for what? Or $10 million, whatever it cost me, like, for what? Mm-hmm. Like, where are we getting better? And that, to me, is a puzzling answer. If I'm Shad Khan or anybody in that building right now, is that there are no signs. There's nothing for even me, president of the Sunshine and Rainbows Club, to grab onto and tell you about and say, hey, now, wait a minute. Wait until you see this. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Hey, real quick, just so you know, we'll play some of the sound in the next segment we have, but Urban is talking right now. The first four questions relating to James Robinson. In total, I think Urban said 12 words to answer four questions.
Yeah, he's ducking the questions.
Yep.
I mean, he's ducking the questions. Just say what it is. I mean, I know you don't not like the guy,
but then
you respect him.
What is it, though? Okay, but is he benched because he got fumbled, or does he not like James Robinson? Like, what do you think it is?
I think there's a benching going on with fumbling, and I also think they don't believe that Carlos Hyde and James Robinson, there's much separation.
But then why did LaVisca Chenault get a free reign when he fumbled?
And that's the problem, right? Why does anybody on that offense or anybody on this football team get a free pass for screwing up? Like, why isn't Roy Robertson-Harris on the bench now for the next 2 weeks? Because over the last 2 weeks, he's had three 15-yard penalties, and we can debate the late hit.
Sure,
I mean, the sack, but doesn't matter, or the hit on Stafford. But the bottom line is, if you're going to penalize like the Patriots would do,
yeah,
well, then do it and be consistent.
Well, and that's the biggest thing. If you have an example of LaVisca Chenault, who I don't care if he doesn't play running back or not, he did yesterday. He got some more carries. If you have a guy in LaVisca Chenault against San Francisco who fumbles right to start out the game on their drive, and then you keep him in the game, and then weeks later, or I guess the next week, James Robinson fumbles, you bench him, and the following week he fumbles again, and you bench him. If we're talking about it, I guarantee it's being talked about right now in the locker room. Simple as that. I guarantee James Robinson's talking to it with his agent. I guarantee he's talking to it with maybe Trevor Lawrence or whoever else in that locker room, that offense. Everybody in that locker room is talking about it. Because that's the biggest thing, is consistency. You better believe in New England, if you fumble a football, yeah, you're sitting, but guess what? If you make a mistake, you're sitting. Like, that's Bill Belichick's MO. Go back and watch any season when someone makes a mistake, they're probably going to sit. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how talented you are. That's how Bill Belichick runs the show. Okay, if you're Urban Meyer and you're trying to, you know, go under the Bill Belichick coaching tree and trying to echo what they do in New England, that's, I don't think it's fine, but that's fine in your eyes. But then be consistent about it. Don't put LaVisca back out there when he fumbles and then, you know, put James Robinson on the bench, because now you're not being consistent. And the biggest thing, well, one of the biggest things that get talked about behind the scenes on those long plane rides home from, you know, getting your butt kicked is, well, I can't believe that he benched me, but why LaVisca? You know, like, those conversations are happening right now. And that is how you lose a locker room. And yes, the losses are one thing, but how you're going about these losses is another thing. And I'm not saying he's losing the locker room yet, but I guarantee these conversations are happening right now.
Yeah, they're still playing hard, which is impressive. It says a lot about the makeup of the locker room. But I'm almost to the point where he talks about the leadership, right? He says, hey, on Thanksgiving week, I talked to Brandon Linder and some of the leaders, and we said, we'll do the schedule this way, we think, which, by the way, I also think is bizarre. They've got two wins. Who cares? It's practice on Thanksgiving. I don't care. I mean, go practice until you get it right. But that's a different thing. If you're going to ask the captains, by now, if this team has any good leadership on it in those captaincies, then they are going to the coach and asking, Coach, why isn't our best offensive player playing?
And I think it's more than just fumbling. I really do. I just don't think, call me crazy, I don't think Urban Meyer is a big James Robinson fan.
Well, I think that's crystal clear. I think this coaching staff and Urban Meyer and maybe Trent Baalke and the rest of them, they're not. I mean, we have so much evidence of this now.
We have
the evidence on James Robinson is, let's go, the list goes on and on. You bring Hyde in. I thought you needed some depth, so I didn't think that was crazy. ETN, he adds speed, but he also looks like the future replacement to James Robinson. So it starts there. Then it's what you always bring up, Carlos Hyde or James Robinson on the depth chart at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, to me, it also started from when, you know, Urban Meyer said, you know, we're not going to have starters right away. Guys got to earn their spots. Well, one of the very first press conferences, you echoed how great Josh Allen is and how he's going to be featured in your defense. Never mentioned anything about James Robinson. And if you want to go back to last season in terms of production, yeah, Josh Allen was okay. James Robinson was almost a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Should have been a Pro Bowler. But Josh Jacobs took that spot because it's a popularity contest. So that, to me, is where it started. When you said, all right, you got to earn your spot on this team. Josh Allen was anointed the guy that's going to run through this defense. The defense going to run around him day one when Urban Meyer stepped into the stadium. James Robinson, crickets.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, he just has not gotten a lot of work. Like, he ends up getting five attempts in the first game. He got five attempts rushing in the first game. I kind of forgot about that. It was that little. 11 attempts in game two, running the football. 15 in game three. 18 game four. 18 game five. 17 game six. And then the Seattle game. And now it's been back and forth, and he got hurt a little bit. And even last week, he skipped 22 plays in a row at one. Well, not at one time. Two different streaks. Against Atlanta in a touchdown game. He touched it 17. He had 115 yards. That's your most explosive day out of any player in the last 6 weeks that you've had. And then yesterday, eight touches. Carlos Hyde has more snaps than him. I mean, you are either bad at evaluating talent or you are so damn stubborn and have such an ego that you're willing to lose to bench a player because you think another guy's better. Mm-hmm. And I think they go hand in hand, and you're dead ass wrong. I mean, it's crystal clear you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you are absolutely wrong. We don't have to be that smart to see it. So what are you doing? The mismanagement of James Robinson is as baffling as anything I've seen in 14 years here in Jacksonville. I've never seen anything like it. Like, at least your terrible offense in 2011 led by Blaine Gabbert, which is historically the worst offense in the history of the franchise, which this offense is now going to challenge, by the way, mm-hmm. to be the worst offense. They gave it to number 32 all the damn time.
He was the leading rusher in the NFL.
They gave it to him all the time. At least they had that. Mm-hmm. This team won't even give that guy the ball. If Maurice Jones-Drew was here right now, I'm telling you, they wouldn't give him the ball as much as that 2011 team did. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. It's amazing. It is really toward the top of the list of one of the most baffling things I've seen here in Jacksonville.
No, for sure. Yeah, you know, in terms of carries, like, see, the game got out of hand, though. Like, do you want James Robinson carrying the rock 20 times when you're down 3-7? Or do you want Trevor Lawrence to throw the football, though?
Yeah, but, Austin, I understand that, okay? But I'm not going to let them off that easy.
I'm not letting them off.
No, I know it. Yeah. I'm just saying, in hindsight, you're like, well, is he really going to be able to run it that many times and blah, blah, blah. And maybe you could say that early on when they got just mollywopped by Houston in the first half, and that's why he didn't run it that much. But I think two things. The Jags are down 13-7 mm-hmm. late in the first half. They have the ball at midfield, and I'm saying to myself, like, I'm saying this, and I don't know anything about X's and O's football. Like, I do not want to put my hat in the ring for a play caller of this football team, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, it's 4 minutes to go.
You'd probably do an okay job.
You get the ball coming out of the locker room in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. You're down six, amazingly, after that terrible start. Mm-hmm. And you've settled this thing down. Your defense is playing okay. And now you got great field position after a couple of really nice punts from your MVP, Logan Cook. And all you have to do is eat some clock, mm-hmm. go kick even a field goal if you don't get in, because we can't be too greedy around here with points. Mm-hmm. And now you've got a field goal game or the lead. And get the ball coming out of the locker room. I mean, that's what every team in the NFL wants. That's why you defer. Mm-hmm. And what do? They go, throw the ball, incomplete. Throw the ball. Maybe it was penalty. Like a six-yard game.
There was a penalty in there, too.
And then that was with James Robinson in. That was the first time he had been back in three series. Mm-hmm. They didn't give it to him from midfield. Mm-hmm. And then they put Hyde in, and they try to hand it to him, and they fumble it. I mean, that sequence alone tells us everything we need to know. That they are either grasping at straws or they do not want to give it to number 25.
I don't think they want to give it to number 25. I don't think they like James Robinson.
Yes, you're right. They lost 37-7.
Yeah.
But why did James Robinson get three of his eight carries in the final 2 minutes of this game if he's hurt?
No, for sure. I'm just saying, when it's the third quarter and you're down 30-7, then I really don't. I mean, I was actually upset when I saw James Robinson in the fourth quarter, because I'm like, well, what is the point then?
We would have been upset then, too. We just weren't watching at that point.
But yeah. And the other thing I would say this, though. This team is having such a hard time developing the young quarterback that when I'm down 30-7, I'm going back to my script to open the game, and I'm trying to run my offense instead of put this kid under pressure like we're Aaron Donald's going to go rip his head off. Mm-hmm. You know, just go run your offense. You're not winning the game. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing why I said, hey, where is Andre Sisco? Like, if you're not going to put him in the game and get some reps and see who the hell he is, then why did you draft him? You're not winning the game at 30-7. So use these opportunities to at least see some growth along the way, because we got nothing. We got nothing right now here in Jacksonville.
Oh, real quick, Brent. It's not worth saving because it's only 2.5 seconds. But, Austin, to your point, this is from a couple minutes ago. Urban was asked why pretty much James is getting benched when other players are making mistakes and they're not getting benched. This is what Urban said.
I don't believe it's – no, it's not – on my end, it's not true at all.
That's all he said. They said, why are other players not getting benched? And he said
– I don't believe it's – no, it's not – on my end, it's not true at all.
I think it's safe to say, and I don't know this because I don't do the snap counts. I would bet my whatever that there's been no player on this team that's a regular player that has sat out 16 consecutive plays in a row and 20 consecutive snaps in a row.
No.
There's nobody on this roster that's done that except for James Robinson. Mm-hmm. So you tell me that you're not benching that guy because of mistakes, well, then
good luck, Charlie.
You ain't telling us what you really feel.
No, for sure.
It's just simple as that. All right, we'll be back. We'll talk more about it. Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690. There's just nothing to grab onto of this getting better, folks. Now, next year starts now. I tweeted that a couple times during the game, and I believe it.
Shock your mock season?
No, next year starts now, and you've got five extra preseason games to figure it out for next year. Mm-hmm. Five of them. Mm-hmm. Use them. Mm-hmm. That was a preseason game yesterday in the second half.
He said, would you tanking? Who are we getting?
I don't even care who. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They'll screw that up, too. We'll be back. No. Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690.
That's a good question. I know that there's a running back rotation. They worry about his load, how many carries, and they track that. And obviously, at that time of the game, they must want to get him a few more carries. Bernie did.
I mean, that's what we got. That's Urban today talking about
why he was in the fourth quarter.
Late in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we doing here?
Why is every answer different?
Can somebody just tell Urban what everybody's talking about? Mm-hmm. Somebody take it. Like, you're not supposed to react to Twitter if you're the building. But can somebody react? Somebody down there take him like a phone and say what everybody in Jacksonville is talking about. So he stops saying sound bites like that. Like, just stop. Stop saying that stuff. Like, I'm rooting for you, Urban. Like, I would love to, like, just text you right now and be like, look at what everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, have a pulse of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he keeps adding to it.
I know.
Well, why is every answer different? When you asked him three times yesterday, he was hurt, and then it was rotation, and now it's they wanted to get him more carries. So why is the answer never the same? I'm not going to call him a liar, but the answer is not the same ever.
Because there's no accountability.
Well, because you're not going to – if you don't – listen, here's one thing about it. Like, I thought about this. Can you just be forthright and be like, listen – he lacks speed. He's hurt. So even like Carlos Hyde is every bit as good as him right now. That's what we think. Like, why can't you say that? Like, well, you're probably not going to say that out of respect to the player. You're not going to hammer a player or at least denounce a player in the media. So you're trying to protect against that, right? It's kind of like Trevor Lawrence will do that. Hey, LaVisca, you ran the wrong depth on that route, but he's going to take the brunt of it, right? You're not going to throw a guy under the bus. Well, quite frankly, behind closed doors, my guess is they are throwing James Robinson under the bus. They're not going to do it in front of a microphone, and therefore there is no answer other than, listen, we don't believe in James Robinson as much as the rest of y'all do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what I, like, a part of me thinks that this whole thing is going to implode, and it's going to, like, it's just going to blow up, like, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we're going to talk about how players are just shutting down, players are not buying anymore, and there's going to be bigger problems. Another part of me is thinking, well, why hasn't that happened yet?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what am I missing from that standpoint? Like, where are the leaders that are going to go and say, hey, we don't know what you're doing with James Robinson right now, but you probably want to keep him in. Like, where are the guys coming out and saying that? Like, I have no idea, and, you know, I mean, I haven't been in a locker room in a long time, but I have no idea what it's like right now in that locker room
why guys aren't coming forward, why there isn't more frustration. I mean, it's props to Urban Meyer for, because we haven't heard a lot of turning on each other, I guess. I mean, there's been some here or there, but nothing like major, nothing we can take and roll with. So props to him for doing that. I don't know if people are drinking Kool-Aid or what's going on, but I would be surprised if this doesn't implode in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and you said that, and we off air as well, and I think that's a fair question. And I think I said this, maybe I said it on air. Where's the leadership right now of the captaincy saying, hey, like, that's one of our guys, man. I mean, you guys weren't here last year, but this guy was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, we feed off him. If we're going to play him, play him. And mm-hmm. this is, like, I continue to say this, okay? This is all not an indictment on Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde's a fine backup guy. But if you're trying to sell me that Carlos Hyde is every bit as good as James Robinson, then you are out of your freaking mind, and you can't convince me otherwise. And, I mean, I'll show you stats. All right? I'll show you plays. You're wrong. So, I mean, it really does feel like sooner or later, I can tell you, I mean, listen, James Robinson's coming to Jags Report live tonight. Didn't cancel yet, at least. And he's been very good. He shows up each and every week. And guess what we're talking about, right? He's going to be at Sneakers in Jacks Beach. And, hey, come on out. Cheer him up. But he will be there at 7 o'clock live on Fox 30. And, I mean, he's not going to have any answers. But I can tell you this. I mean, we can see it. The frustration is growing with James Robinson as it continues to grow with all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'll say it again. I've never seen anything like this. And I said to you in the commercial break, I don't know what Urban is doing bringing these kind of problems into the building and into the fan base and into this already bad football team in terms of what people, the noise. Mm-hmm. You know, he did it with his actions after the Cincinnati game, and that is one thing off the field. And now he and the staff are bringing all this noise on top of not playing good football by simply not playing their best player or giving us a decent explanation why. And if you're going to say he's hurt, then sit his ass down. Just sit him down and let him get healthy.
But who isn't hurt? It's the NFL. Everybody is, like, no one's 100%.
It's almost
so, of course,
like,
he's going to be banged up.
It's almost like yesterday he said, listen, he doesn't practice during the week, but he really wants to play. It's like, well, okay, then he's either ready to play or not. Like, I've watched him warm up for, like, 3 weeks in a row, and he looks ready to go. Like, I saw some of the explosiveness back here in Jacksonville against Atlanta. I didn't see much yesterday. There wasn't much to see. Mm-hmm. But so part of the thing as a coach, you're like, hey, this is in the best interest of you and the football team. I appreciate your toughness. And he continues to say that, Urban does, the toughness and everything else. But if you appreciate that, well, then you got to know when, hey, this isn't helping us. So we're going to play Hyde for a couple of games, and we're going to get him better. Well, they missed that boat. They had the last 4 weeks to do that. Mm-hmm. And so they either miscalculated that, or now they're mistreating and misusing their best player on offense. And by the way, all of this does not help the development of the young quarterback. This is just added noise around the young quarterback, who already is dealing with probably way too much in his rookie season, a lot that you hoped he wouldn't have to deal with.
Yeah, it's... And that's the most important part, and that's that's what the season was supposed to be about, and now we're here. And it's just, you know, I think as far as the NFL is concerned this year, this is the most disappointing and most underachieving team in the NFL. And the reason why I say that is because, like, a couple weeks ago I was in Houston, and I was listening to the Houston sports radio, and this is right before they played Tennessee. Nobody in Houston had any expectations whatsoever. They're past the point of calling. Like, they're ready to fire him and get somebody else. They're talking about, you know, next quarterbacks to draft. Like, there was no expectations about Houston Texans team. I think in Detroit, like, yeah, you were intrigued by the coach. I still can't name two receivers in Detroit. Jared Goff is Jared Goff. Running game's okay. But there was no expectations in Detroit either. Not only there's expectations here in Jacksonville, but it wasn't supposed to look like this. You weren't supposed to lose games like this. Heck, even the New York Jets, like, yeah, they're 3-9, and Zach Wilson, you know, had an okay game yesterday, threw touchdowns. At least they're getting better. At least if you're a Jets fan, it's like, well, hey, at least we got, like, next season, can't wait. And we said this to open the show up, there is nothing to hang your hat on. There is nothing to be excited about next year. Because it's not Trevor Lawrence. It's this defense, okay, I guess the scheme, sure. But they're like, that, I don't know what else to say. Like, this year has been an underachieving disaster. And if I'm Shad Khan, I don't know what to think. This was supposed to be the outside-the-box decision that's going to turn things around, establish a new culture, and establish a winning tradition. If anything, it's gotten worse. Like, I never thought I'd be saying, hey, I wonder what Doug Marrone's up to. I wonder how he's doing. But, like, at least, I don't know, it seemed like he was in competitive games. I don't know. It's just, it's to the point now where I can't find anything positive to say, and it's to the point where it's like, well, what are these next five games going to look like?
Yeah, like I said, they're preseason games for the Jags, really, just to try to figure stuff out. It does feel a little bit like last year when we were asking, okay, why isn't Gardner Minshew playing and why is, like, Jake Luton playing, you know? Yeah, unless he's really, like, that was a mystery and all that was weird, too. This actually feels even stranger because it's so obvious. It's like, this isn't, like, a secret. He's your best guy. He's a good player. And if he's good enough to go suit up and play, then play him. Mm-hmm. And then... if he plays the whole game and you can't, and if he doesn't look good or feel good, then you got to sit him the next game, then you do that. So I just, like I said at the start of this, I really feel like Urban Meyer is bringing this on this franchise and this organization, this locker room, these young players, especially the quarterback. This does not have to be talked about day in, day out in Jacksonville, that yet on our show for the last, really for a long time, but really the last 2 weeks, it's like an everyday topic. Like, what is going on with James Robinson? And they still can't give us an answer, and so they're just digging more, digging a bigger hole on it. It just doesn't make sense.
But the biggest, well, one of the biggest problems, because there have been so many, one of the biggest problems with this franchise, we've echoed time and time again, back to the Tom Coughlin era with Doug Marrone, is the problem of communication. It's the chain of command. And now we're here again, where... you're Shad Khan. You gave Urban Meyer the keys. You gave him whatever he wanted and say, go win. You need money for practice facility? Fine, gotcha. You need bigger and better things? Fine, I got you. Just go win. And then you want to copy the Bill Belichick model of benching, and I'm saying this in quotes, supposedly benching players for fumbling, but Bill Belichick has his fingerprint all over that team. That is, it's not the New England Patriots. It's the New England Belichicks. Right, like, he built that thing. He is all over in terms of that identity of that team. Where is Urban Meyer at then? Like, if you're not responsible for your best players playing or not, and you want to deflect to your running backs coach or your coordinator, then where is your identity on this team? What can we look at in this team right now and say, oh yeah, that's an Urban Meyer coach team. Oh yeah, this is Urban Meyer ML right here. There's nothing.
No.
There is absolutely nothing. So you hand the keys to a guy, and once again, we're in the same spot where it's like, well, where's the chain of communication? Where's the chain of command? It's like, it's almost like he just deferred and said, I don't want this. I'm just going to chill and, you know, I'll manage, like, the motivational speeches and stuff like that. But everybody else can handle everything. You can't do that.
Yeah.
This is yours. Like, Shad Khan gave the keys to you. Don't give them to a friend. You got to drive, man.
Yeah. And by the way, there are no victory meals to prepare, so you've got some extra time on your hands.
Yeah.
You know, dive into something else.
Yeah, man.
Instead of what's at the spread, at the table, after a W, because there's only been two of those. And that, to me, is the biggest shocker, and I was dead wrong. I just didn't think Urban Meyer had 2-10 in him. And I didn't think he had 2-15 or 3-14 in him. And he does. That's what he's proving. He has that in him, and he's not doing anything about it.
I mean, I wasn't, like, a big believer of a lot of wins, but I thought there'd be a lot more accountability.
Yeah, and at least some progress,
On progress.
We didn't think we'd be sitting here in December and have no clue about the rookie quarterback. We have no feeling.
No.
We have none. There is no feeling about season, Trevor man. Lawrence.
You're wasting a season.
We'll be back. Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like our guys were, you know, obviously we've got a lot of talent they were playing against there and on the road, and all of a sudden, we drive the ball. It's 10-7. You know, our defense is playing excellent pass defense. We're playing excellent field position, complimentary football there. I'll find out what it was, but the average starting field position was, we had them pinned down at our most of the first half, and you felt pretty good about it. Holding the field goal on it with 13 or whatever it was, 16-7, 13-7 at halftime, man, we're getting the ball. That's kind of where you want to be on the road against a good team. Let's go and move the ball. We didn't do it. We didn't do it.
Yeah, that about sums it up. I thought that was the big part of the game. They got back into the game, and they couldn't do it. They had the ball at, like, the 40-yard line after the kick went out of bounds, and they balled the 50-yard line when they got it back, and they got nothing. And that's not the first time. They're terrible at the end of the half. They're terrible coming out of the gates in the third quarter. There's just nothing. And by the way, like, you got everything you wanted. Your plan to win in terms of the field position and all that stuff. Guess what? Add another nugget for your plan to win. Give it to your best offensive player in play number 25. Because in that spot, they didn't do it, and that possession went down the drains. Is there something coincidental about that? I don't know. But that was a huge possession in the game. You didn't give it to 25 on two occasions. You took him out, and you tried to give it to 24, and it was a fumble. Mm-hmm. That, to me, says everything about the last few weeks around here. Says everything. That one three-play sequence where you had a chance to get in the game, kill the clock at the end of the half, and they couldn't do it. Hey, let's talk about something different for just a couple moments because I think it's worth. How cool was it to see Gardner Minshew go out there and ball?
Awesome,
good
man.
Moments. Listen, yeah. We like Gardner. We've supported him. We think he can play in this league and be a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Listen, he had some opportunities last year. Didn't cash in. I'm not saying, oh, man, I wish he was the quarterback of the Jags, all this stuff. Listen, Jags are going to be in a good place at quarterback, I think. They've got a guy that's supposed to be really good. They're really screwing him up right now. But I think at the end of the day, he's going to be a good player. And I think people probably would take the career path right now of Trevor Lawrence, I think, even now. But it was really cool to see Minshew. You know about a guy who's been ready to play?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he did coming in for Nick Foles, he went 22 of 25 here against Kansas City that day.
Yeah.
And then what he did yesterday was a 20 of 25. And did you just see that? Like, you want to know what guys go through? You want to know what, like, families go through? That moment that's gone viral after the game?
Sure.
I mean, that was just pure, like, frustration of a last year and a half unleashed in a kind of like a personal moment. It didn't even take words.
Yeah.
I don't even think any words were said.
Yeah, Minshew looked really good, man. I watched a lot of that game, and it was cool to see him out there just slinging it, having fun, you know, celebrating on the sidelines, acting wild like he always does. Yeah, man, it was a vintage classic Gardner Minshew game. Now, you know, we'll see what comes of that. Minshew mania has now hit Philadelphia. But of course, you know, I'm super extremely happy for Gardner Minshew because he's earned it. But then here I am thinking, well, oh, you got a 6th-round pick from, probably should ask for more. that's where my brain goes.
Well, if he plays a few more games, you might get more. You might get your 5th. It's a conditional.
Yeah. See, I guess. But I just feel like Philadelphia fans right now are like, oh, we got a 6th-round pick for him, maybe a 5th-round pick for that?
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, like.
Well, listen, like, I think I saw like Kay tweet about this, too. Like, I can't believe Urban did that. First of all, that's not even. The Jags have 20 moves that are more difficult to believe than that one.
Sure.
And listen, Gardner didn't want to be here. Because he knew the writing was on the wall. So I say good for Gardner. He didn't want to be here. He wouldn't play this year at all. And now he has an opportunity to maybe go play a few games and steal that job from Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm happy for him, too. Just wanted to get more for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going
to do? Nothing. I don't know what we're going to do around here. Just keep complaining about the Jags when we come back.
We're going to get a table pretty soon. What's going on with that?
Yeah, like I said, I think I'd like you to send me head first through the table.
I got you, man.
If you get me around 4:15 on a Sunday afternoon, I'll take head first.
Head first it is.
Yeah.
Tombstone.
Yes, thank you.
I like that.
For real.
Tombstone pile driver.
Appreciate it. We'll be back. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.